What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. The clock's running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant. Unfortunately, Zane is unable to be here tonight, but we have a jam-packed show with officials from coast to coast. So I just want to bring our guests in today. Let's get right into it. We got Jacob Black and Jordan Calicut. What's up, guys? Welcome to the show.
Thanks, sir.
Appreciate you.
Of course. So our first topic tonight is I got a call last night from a player out of the Bay Area. He was in the U.S. flag L.A. Open this past weekend playing in the Forest Pro Division. And he called me, had a question about defining what a catch is. So our first topic tonight is just going to be covering that. So, Jacob, you got the floor. What is a catch?
All right, so defined in our rules, I'm actually pulling it up right now so I can make sure I can read this correctly so everyone understands. So in our rule book, we have it where it says catches. A pass is completed when an offensive player simultaneously places at least 1 foot in bounds and momentarily maintains possession of the ball. That's with a receiver standing upright, catching the ball, and not falling to the ground. In the event of a bobble catch, the ball is batted out of that receiver's hand in the attempt to catch it. I was talking about deflagging. Apologies. What it does say in Article 6, it says a receiver must survive the ground if falling while attempting to make a catch. So if you dive for the ball, if you're laying out to catch a ball, trying to toe tap, get in bounds, if you're falling, that ball, you've got to maintain possession of all the way to the ground. You can't use the ground to help you catch it. You've got to hang on to it. So that, by our rules, that's what our definition of a catch is.
Okay, and so do you think that there's some confusion with players about what a catch looks like in tackle football compared to flag football?
Oh, absolutely. And in tackle football, you've got to catch the ball. You've got to make a football move. You've got to maintain it. Sometimes, you know, it depends on if you're talking NFL or college or high school. You've got to get between 1 or 2 feet in bounds. In flag football, you have to maintain momentary possession. You've got to be the first when you stop that ball from moving, you stop its momentum. You don't have to make any football moves. At that point, the ball is yours. And by what I mean by that is no defender can try to strip it away. After that point, no defender can knock it out of your hands. It is yours at that point.
So what's momentary possession? That seems like an interesting term.
So the short answer is when I look at it as when you stop the football from moving and you've taken control of the ball, if that makes sense. You're looking for the ball to not be continuing through the person's hands. You're wanting that ball to stop in place. For a moment of time.
Gotcha. So, Jordan, do you think that there's a difference between what happens with a catch in contact compared to non-contact?
No. A difference in the two, no. I think that what's allowed, what's not allowed, what you're looking for after the catch is different between the two formats, in my opinion. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Well, what do you mean by that?
So a few weeks ago, we are in season play, and a guy does the offensive team is on the 3-yard line, and this guy goes from the left side of the field all the way across to the right, and the ball's thrown, ball is caught. My hands go up, touchdown. The man takes 2 steps, and the DB at that point hits him, you know, like he's coming in for the flagpole, creates contact, pulls the flag. And at that point, as my hands are already in the air, the receiver goes out of bounds and he kind of drops the ball. But from my perspective and in my opinion, he was dropping the ball only because he knew it was already a touchdown. You know, at that point, you catch the ball, you let it go, and then he went to celebrate. And then when he let it go, the other team was like, oh, well, he dropped the ball. I'm like, that is not at all what happened. They're like, well, he did not maintain possession. I'm like, he had two steps in and then lost the ball after contact as he celebrated, not because of the contact. And, of course, the defensive team was just beside themselves with the call.
Gotcha. Any thoughts on that scenario, Jacob?
Man, it's just, it's all about, you know, if, as long as you're not falling to the ground or anything like that, you've got to possess it for, you know, long enough to get a foot in bounds and they're good. You know, once you take possession, I get trying to play the ball as a defender and you have a right to that. But the biggest thing is you got to realize once a receiver has it, you've got to get your hand away. You can't try to go after the ball because it does turn into a stripping penalty at that point. And we see that. That's one of those, it's a inexperienced official struggle with this call, I think. And Jordan, you both can back me up on this. You'll see an inexperienced official let it fly and be perfectly fine with it, even when there's a significant amount of time when that receiver catches it. But I believe you'll see where a more experienced official will throw the penalty flag there and give a stripping call for that. The scenario, are you getting ready to get into the scenario that the person that reached out to you about?
No, go ahead. You can explain it.
All right. So actually, I had the luxury of hearing the, I want to say complaint, but it was the complaint firsthand. It was at the very end of the game. Receiver was in the end zone, lunged out to catch the ball, had a foot inbounds, and as they lunged out, they were falling to the ground. They hit the ground. The ball popped up on the receiver's shoulder, which then went into the ground. They did not have possession of it, so the officials on the field called no catch, and that was the ball game. They came to me. They said, you know, hey, he had it. You know, the way they tried to describe it to me was at first it was, you know, the defender played through, and I said, well, that's the case. I said, that's a penalty. So especially in non-contact, you can't go through a receiver to get to the ball. So I said, you want to see the video? And I said, at this point, I said, sure. You know, there's nothing, we can't go back and, you know, change anything about it, but I'll watch the video. Sure enough, the receiver's laying out for the pass. He's going to the ground. You see the ball pop out. And I said, I'd call the exact same thing if I was in that place. They said, okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Gotcha. So what would have needed to have been different, for that to be a catch?
Just maintain it to the ground. Just keep that ball off the ground. Just keep the ball in your hands and keep it off the ground. But the fact the ball did pop loose, it made it where it's not a catch.
Gotcha.
Pretty fast, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I just think that I've seen a lot of videos on Instagram, and I think sometimes Dula and Law in the Bay Area, they just post videos just to be funny about it. Yeah. Because there's this term that gets used a lot, flag catch, where basically it's referring to the fact that you don't need any possession at all. And as long as it catches, you know, touches your hands, that's it. That's all you need is a catch. have you seen situations like that?
Oh, definitely. People think you could slap the ball on it and you've got it. And that's not the case. You've got to stop the momentum of the ball. You can't just, I mean, I think sometimes people try to get a little silly with it and try to go above and beyond. There's, you know, in the words of the great and all wise Lance Lew, there's no such thing as a flag catch. You know, he'll tell you a catch is a catch is a catch is a catch is a catch. And I agree. There's different parameters, you know, as far, you know, going from tackle football to what they require, what we require. But at the end of the day, you've got to take possession of it. So I do think we're all on the same page there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that sounds real similar to what we were saying a couple weeks ago about a hold is a hold is a hold. I think just sometimes people get lost in the translation of, well, this is what I see in NFL games or this or that. Well, number one, in the NFL, you need 2 feet in bounds. Right. So there just needs to be a separation between flag and NFL rules in a lot of these scenarios.
Right.
Jordan, what other thoughts do you have about what a catch is?
No, I completely agree. I had a very, very similar situation this past weekend, and the guy maintained possession all the way to the ground, and as soon as he, I mean, honestly, great ball, great catch. He the defender did not touch him, and when he went to the ground, he caught the ball like this, and when he hit the ground, the ball bobbled just enough where he had to actually move his hands to maintain possession, and I called no catch. And he was like, how? The ball never touched the ground. I'm like, you're correct. But the ball jarred from your hands as you were touching the out of bounds. And he was okay with it at the time. But after the game, he did want me to kind of walk him through what I saw and my thought process from where it was. So, I mean, I definitely had respect for him for not jumping up, not being, angry in the moment, but he did want clarification. Once me and him had a conversation, he was like, respectfully, I disagree. I don't think that's what happened, but I understand. I said, okay. I said, thank you for the conversation.
Yeah. So Jordan, you kind of bring up an interesting point with that really that came down to your angle of what you were watching with the catch, maybe even an official on the other side of the field. How much is the angle of the official really affect being able to call a catch or not?
Oh, I think it's huge, and that's kind of the gray area that I have endured in contact more than any other format. Only because in contact, when you have like on the 1 yard line, you have four receivers. Well, three receivers in the center, and you have all five defensive linemen, right there on the line on the ball. If the quarterback says hut, and it's the receiver furthest away from me that I'm on the I'm in the end zone. It's the receiver on the far side of me, so the only other official that has the sighting is the line of scrimmage guy. They do a quick throw out. And everything else, does the DB hold? Because if the DB's back's to me and his hands are in front of him and he's holding that receiver, I can't see it. So then if he catches that ball right there, I saw him catch it. Everything on my end looks good. I check my other referee to make sure that he's in bounds. Nothing crazy happened. There are no flags on the ground. If we make eye contact, I know at that point my hands are going straight up. Touchdown, no questions asked.
Yeah, for sure. I had a situation in Tampa that, Pat Spence was actually playing in this game as one of his final games playing. And I was right on the goal line. I felt like I had perfect position for it. It was last play of the game. And it ended up being a running play. And as the guy was going, to 1 yard line, I saw the flag get pulled. But a player came right in front of my viewpoint, and so I could not see the extension of the ball. So from what I saw, I had to call it short.
Yep.
Yes, sir. The other official on the other side, he was focused on other things, and he didn't see it either, so we both agreed it was short. Thankfully, Pat didn't chew my head off too bad, because immediately when he looked over, he noticed that there was a player that he had actually blocked into my view. So it wasn't, there wasn't much he could do in that situation. Jacob, I know you probably have people trying to show you video all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that kind of a quick response for you to be able to say, where's the angle of this camera?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, you think about it, take this weekend, for instance, I think both of you can agree. Because both of you worked small ball this weekend, a lot of times you're in two-man crews. So you're expected in those two-man crews to see everything that happens on the field on average, let's say, with 10 players. So that's one person watching. If you divide it up, most of the time it's one person watching five players, which doesn't happen because you got one person who's supposed to watch basically two, and then the other person's got to watch the other eight. And I a lot of times you'll have people on the sidelines trying to show you something on the camera. You'll have someone standing on the back of the end zone where you absolutely have no vantage of an official. And it's good to see because it's great teachable moments and stuff. But at the end of the day, it's also kind of an unfair thing if you think about it, because you're telling me that you standing in the end zone can see something one way and perfectly cool. You're way out of position. You're not in, you're not in the right place to make a call for the rest of the game, but in that very split second moment, it's exactly where you need it to be. That's why a lot of times I don't entertain videos, just because there's so many circumstances that go into play for them. And it's really unfair to the officials that you start looking at videos and be able to say, well, yeah, if I did this, if I slowed this down, if I did this, if I do that, you know, like I said, I think last time I was on, you can look at every play and you can find something with every bit of it. So I would rather take what you guys see in real time and go off of that and be for the players than sit there and try to break down every little play.
So. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, just like I say, my lazy eye doesn't work. My slow motion button doesn't work very well either. So just, I'm in real time. And what'd you say, Jordan?
Don't feel bad. I said, I don't have a fast button, so I get that.
No, come on. I've seen you barrel down the field before.
That's just because I don't hear these players bitch if my big ass ain't down there to call their touchdown. It's terrible.
That's what those compression socks are for, right? To give you speed. Hey, don't
forget it either. They're okay? +5 speed, baby.
Yes, sir. Hey, I didn't have force gear until I bought those things.
That's right.
Nice. Well, I think we've covered what a catch is, not only in flag football, but just in general in football. And I appreciate your guys' input on that. So, Jordan, I know you were on the East Coast this weekend. Decided to not be in the muddy fields of LA, and you were in the muddy fields of North Carolina. So what were you doing? Yeah.
So, man, we had a collaboration tournament this weekend. It was Camel City and Ball Her Choice. It's two organizations here in the area. One's out of the Raleigh-Durham area, and then one is out of Winston. And it was we had 5 non-contact, 5 co-ed, and playground, which this was my first weekend experiencing playground and – For the format, I was, I read the rules and I was kind of like, all right, I wonder how this is going to go. It seemed a lot more fun than I expected. It was definitely a unique format, and I like the rule stipulations the way that they sit now. But yeah, other than that, man, it was definitely a muddy situation. The best thing about flag football, I think, is the family and the camaraderie that it really brings people together. You know, the amount of players that come up to me, even as I'm an official, and, you know, some guys are like, hey, man, what's up? You know, they dap you up, they give you a hug. And then other guys who you just become really good friends with, they come up to you and they, like, push up on you. They're like, what's up, bro? What's up? I'm like, wait till after this play. I'm going to show you what's up. You know, so the good news is even though then I only landed on the ground twice this weekend. So that was fun. That was fun.
And not to cut you off with that, and is there a way I can pull pictures up on this? The picture right before you flew, Jordan, was sent to me.
Oh, shit.
Oh, we're gonna have to add it to our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll put that in the
comments. Did anybody get a picture of this? Everyone was like, no. I'm like, thank God.
Yeah, they
lied. Jacob, didn't you take a spill too?
Huh?
Didn't you take a spill on Saturday?
Almost. I almost did, man. I was about that close. My feet went and my body said, all right, we're just gonna keep on going with it. We'll see what happens.
Look, that's the other problem is because my option was to run through a player. Either to run through a player, disrupt the gameplay, or bust my ass. And Benny Poole is lucky that I like him because that's what I was gonna run through. It's either run through Benny Poole or fall on the ground. And obviously, because of that. Dude, I'd have been look, I'm gonna get mad now thinking about it. He's so lucky. That man is so lucky.
That's
all. So Jordan, I want to back up a little bit just for the listeners that maybe don't know what this format is. Can you explain playground and what that's all about?
Man, Playground, it's a new format, and so pretty much what it is that you have four female receivers, one male quarterback, if you choose. The quarterback does not have to be a male, but he can be a male. And then defense is all five females. So the quarterback himself, he can throw a forward pass. He can lateral it backwards. He can run anywhere behind the line of scrimmage. He cannot cross line of scrimmage. He cannot go out for a pass. So it really is a fast-paced offense. Even if a rusher rushes the line of scrimmage, he still only has 5 seconds to throw.
Jacob, is there a little differences in that kind of format in USA Flag?
Yep, so just slightly. USA Flag kind of took and put their own little twist on it. First of all, I do want to shout out Vanita for coming up with such a really cool concept. I think it's a great way to integrate women who don't necessarily have – women teams that don't necessarily have a quarterback quite yet or have a developed quarterback and still get them ways to get reps and get and have a way to play. I think that's really cool. What we have is we have aired out co-ed. So the only difference between play, I think there's a couple little differences, but between Playground and aired out co-ed, you have a male quarterback. You also have a male rusher. Now you don't have to use either of those. You can go out there with all four. Essentially though, it's and Jordan, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know about Playground. I have to go back and look again. But aired out co-ed is it's no laterals, no pitches, no handoffs, nothing downfield. Right. The quarterback makes a forward pass, and that runner advances as far as they can without getting their flag pulled. They get the four downs. So it's the same. It's the same as our aired out style. It's just got the little tweaks to it.
Yeah, Playground has laterals downfields, but only because it's female to female. At that point, the male quarterback is taken out of it. Once he throws a forward pass, he could go to the sideline and just stand there. So, so it's just the thing. Now, the one difference is male quarterback to female receiver, 6 points. Female quarterback to female receiver is 7 points. So
still an incentive.
Yeah, there is an incentive to have a female quarterback. I mean, even if the male drives the entire field and then on the very last play, first and goal, the girl comes in, throws a touchdown, 7 points. And then the one-point conversion is the same thing. 1 point becomes two if it's female to female.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah. go ahead, Ann, sorry.
No. Finish your thought.
No, honestly, I'll say I really enjoyed the format. When I first read the rules, I didn't know how it was going to play out. But once I watched it and watched it, experienced it, and reffed it, I'm a big fan. I would have to say that I am pretty impressed.
Yeah. Jacob, just to kind of throw this out here about air it out and a rule that always kind of brings some controversy on. What happens with a pitch downfield? Is that a live ball penalty, a dead ball penalty? What happens?
It is absolutely a live ball foul. So, it comes to haunt some people sometimes. But if you have a lateral downfield and it's you just treat it like a live ball, you just drop your flag where it occurred, you let the play continue to go. Because if I'm running downfield and my dumbass decides, hey, I'm a lateral to Jordan, and Ant, you come through and you pick it off and you run it all the way back and, some Joe Schmo blows their whistle, you're going to be livid. I'm going to say thank God. But nice. Yeah, it's a 5 yard from the spot, and you're going to lose a down, but yeah, it's a live ball foul. You're going to let the play continue. I've seen some who blow it dead, and it happens. I this past weekend, I watched somebody blow dead a flag guard. It happens.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it happens. You just keep moving with it. It's not the end of the world, because at the end of the day, you're still going to have a penalty right there. If it's me, we had an inadvertent whistle, I'm going to tell you right now, hey, we're going to accept the penalty. We're going to accept the play, which is the penalty, and we're going to move from there.
So, yeah, gotcha. I just want to celebrate the one interception I had in my career of flag football. You know, being a, I'm like the Shaq of flag football. Shaq only had one 3-pointer that he made. I only had one interception. And I was chasing after the quarterback. He made a real quick shuffle pass, and I followed behind with the quarterback, and I'm just yelling, pitch, 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 and the receiver pitched it right back to me. And I was so surprised. I caught that ball, and I turned around and fell flat on my face.
All that green grass, hey. Couldn't get to the end zone.
Hey, still counts. Still counts. Hey,
you know what I mean? Oh, yeah, I maintained possession. It was a catch.
It wasn't a flag catch, though. You know, that's the big question.
Yeah, I mean,
that's right. That's really all that matters. I'm gonna when we add the picture of Jordan, you know, falling down in the mud, I'll add a picture of me having that interception because I got one. So.
Deal.
So, Jacob, I know you were on the West Coast, but can you go into a little bit about the planning of this event? You know, out in North Carolina this past weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm gonna give a huge, huge, huge shout out, Krista Weaver, Jasmine Griffin, and Maria Barber. They're the ones who are here at home. They ran the show. Krista represented us with Camel City. Maria Barber is the owner of Ballard's Choice. And Jasmine Griffin, she's coming on. She's wanting to get a little more involved, and she's got all the right traits. She's learning. She's wanting to figure out what it's like on the director side. She's realizing it's zero fun. But no, I'm just kidding. So we came together. We said they wanted to bring 8 women's into the fives world. They want to show them that there's more than just 8 women's contact. So we said, absolutely. You know, we work with 5 women's all the time with the tournament circuit with USA Flag. With us doing 5 contact here locally, it was a no-brainer. So we were able to bring in a lot of our officials locally. Jordan and Pat held it down for me. They kind of acted as our head of officials over the weekend. Kept everything running in line. But it kind of all fell in place. It was a good introductory tournament for the teams here in North Carolina that don't normally play fives. We had seven women's non-contact teams. We had 7 5 co-ed teams, and then we had the 3 playground teams. Wasn't a huge tournament, but I think it was great for the culture, and it was great for what we're trying to grow. So, you know, all things, you know, considered, I think it was a great event.
Yeah, sounds like a great foundation to build off of. I do have one question. Did Krista have her golf cart with sparkles and pink all over?
She was trucking through the mud like the rest of them. I don't think anybody.
Jordan, anything else you want to add about the event?
She found out real quick what Jacob's job detailed and immediately hated it. Yeah, I gotta ask if I was being mini Jacob for the weekend, and I was like, as long as you understand that it's mini Jacob, I said big Jacob is right over there in those purple tights. Okay, so any questions go right to her.
But that's no different. Jacob wears purple tights every weekend anyway.
What about it?
Yeah, but yeah, it look good though. So that's what matters.
Yeah,
that's facts. Jacob, I just want to now bring us back to you know, the best coast, the West Coast. We were in Santa Clarita, California this past weekend. I tried to be a really good host. I picked people up from the airport. I think I was out painting the fields Saturday morning. I don't know. Wow. I did a lot of stuff, but you know, just I was like, those are good grass fields over there, but let's use these muddy ones. These ones feel good.
Yeah.
Jacob, what about this event stood out to you? I know you were reffing games. I know you were running around doing everything you do for us as refs, but what stood out to you?
Man, it was a fun environment. It was, you know, I will say, you know, every time we go out to the West Coast, it's always a welcoming environment. The teams are glad we're there. We have a good time. You know, it's we usually are a little, you know, like you said, I was reffing this weekend. We're a little shorthanded on quantity officials, but I think our quality was pretty good. So like I said, there it's, you know, super welcoming. you know, we had it like I said, we just had a good time, man. It was for what we had, you know, we half the complex was mud, you know, by 10:30. And the rest of it became mud by, you know, Sunday at 8 o'clock. But yeah, man, we had a good time.
Was there any plays besides that one that we talked about earlier that like really stuck out to you of like brought controversy where you had to, you know, bring the officials in? I know you know, when you're on the side of the field, you give them, you know, a little bit of time to huddle up and then you get involved. Did that happen at all this weekend?
For sure, man. We, you know, typically the biggest question that comes up, because a lot of times when we go to, well, I'm going to call LA a destination spot because that's what it is. You know, there are a lot of California teams, but when we go to these destination spots, we usually have to use officials that we normally wouldn't use. And it's not that we wouldn't use them. It's just these folks come from tackle backgrounds. They don't necessarily come from our environment in our world. So when we bring these folks in, you know, we're trying to explain to them impeding. We're trying to explain, you know, holding, flag guarding, things like that, that they normally don't see and that they, you know, they almost encourage, you know, in tackle, like, you know, stiff arms, you know, that's a pretty big tool for a runner. But you know, we're trying to get these guys used to looking at that and saying, hey, you know, you're not going to do that. And, you know, you're going to throw a penalty on this. You know, it takes a second to adjust. So I'd say, you know, it's no more than normal. A lot of the big questions come from impeding. They come from, you know, when we get into COA, they come from operative player, you know, whether a female was the operative player or not. And then, you know, we come in with, in the contact formats too, you know, trying to get these guys used to, hey, what's too much contact? What's not enough contact? And I think fortunately we were pretty blessed with, we had officials who have had some experience working with the contact formats this past weekend. So a lot of that, I don't think, came up too terribly much. I think it kind of, you know, the end of the night ended a little sour on Sunday with it, but you know, overall it was a pretty good experience.
For sure. You know, and I know, speaking from experience, being out in this area, that the big organizations that are here in Southern California, TUF and Air Raid, they play a format that's very specific to Southern California. It's sixes. They call it contact, but it's really only contact on the line. There's no downfield blocking. So I've noticed when I ref it, there's just a whole lot of gray areas that get created on the field. So I know that there were some officials that all they do is ref, you know, that sixes format. And so they're coming in and they're looking at it. Oh, sixes contact. Yeah, I know what to do. Very, very different. Very different. So I can see that causing some issues. Is there a team or a player in particular that you just happened to have a second to, that you were excited to be able to watch, or maybe a team that you know, were excited that they won or anything like that?
So, I try to say that I get excited to see everybody because we have a ton of great athletes that play. I try not to single out or, you know, lock in on one particular team. I think I do have a very small bias towards the contact just because that's where my background is. So
it's the best format. So,
I mean, well, yeah, but that's, you know, besides the point. but you know, it was, I think for me, I spent Saturday afternoon, I ref the women's contact division, and, you know, seeing a lot of these teams that they're newer, they're trying to learn, they're trying to understand the concepts and the schemes. It's fun because I remember back when I was doing that years ago, trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. I can tell you a ton that doesn't work, but that's just from personal experiences. But yeah, man, it was no one particular team. It was great to see, you know, everybody play. So
yeah, for sure. I try to give Law a really hard time, and I made it clear to him. I went up to him Saturday morning and I said, "Look, man, the competition's so watered down out here. You're gonna sweep, and you're gonna win every pro division that you guys are in."
He didn't, and he freaking folded.
So, you know, that's how it goes. I was excited to be a part of this event. Like I said, it's me hosting, but I had another opportunity that came up that honestly I didn't expect to happen. my 15-year-old daughter, she came and was a big part of this event as well. And it was welcoming in that, just like you're saying, there's so many people that just, it's a good culture and everything. And she's been, you know, hanging around me, going to tournaments and leagues since, you know, she was still in diapers. So she knows flag football. She's been around it. She's been running up and down the sidelines. So it was cool for me to be able to kind of bring her into a bigger event, a national event, and just see everyone. Oh, your aunt's daughter, this and that. And I heard in four, she got a pretty hard time from some of the guys, but you know, she stuck with it.
and the thing too, man, let me say this. So there's two parts, two things I want to touch on real quick. Number one, I've been watching, you've been working for me for a little bit over a year now. And you had a glow about you this past weekend with her being there that we haven't seen ever. And then that was so fun to see, like, how amped up you were to have her with you and how, you know, how you guys work so well together. And it was a real joy to see, man. Like there's experiences in life, and you know, we always talk about things that are bigger than flag, and this was definitely one of those moments. So, man, you know, I again, you know, not even, you know, work to work, but friend to friend, man, that was so cool to see. And number two, I want to talk about something very briefly, but you know, we're getting to a point in the world and with, you know, with football and especially with flag football, where we have this major shortage of officials. And somebody with her age, and you know, I won't throw the exact number, but you know, a youth that's wanting to come out and say, hey, I want to officiate, I want to throw myself into the fire and wanting to do that and wanting to grow and do different things like that to learn the game. It's awesome. You know, I started officiating when I was 14 and kind of coming through, and but seeing this younger generation that wants to do this, man, it's next level to me. And I, you know, if anybody ever has somebody out there that they want to get to grow the game and want a younger person that wants to get into officiate, encourage them, let them learn, let them grow, let them get these reps in and get it, come out there with us. Don't encourage it. Don't discourage it. I'm looking for mindsets of people. I'm not necessarily looking at a number, because, you know, one of our best officials, best non-contact officials around, he's a young guy down in Orlando. Shout out to Declan. But you know, he's one of the young goats in my mind. That kid's going to be phenomenal. And it, you know, it's a mindset. So, you know, again, kudos to her for wanting to come out there and hop on the field, man. It was so, like I said, man, I still get tickled thinking about like how much fun you had this weekend. Cause you had the worst poker face if you were trying to hide it.
Well, now he's upset.
Yeah, I got no poker face.
Yeah, now he's mad about it.
Yeah, hands glowing. You're having family bonding moments, and you left me here in North Carolina. No, that's cool, bro. Don't worry about it.
I gotta tell you this, Jordan. The quote that stuck out to me most from my daughter is, "It was Fives Women's Contact." I'm not gonna say which sideline she was on, but there was a player that said, "Y'all need to find an official that knows what she's doing." And she looked straight at that player and she said, "I know you're not talking about me right now."
Let her know. Oh, trust me. I've already called her. Anything else where she can come, and that I'm going to be there, I want her on my field, because I'm going to teach her. Be like, look, hey, let it fly. Look, them boys or women talk junk, throw the flag, walk over to me, and I'll say 15-yard penalty in a heartbeat. I got your back. Hey, hey gang, okay?
Yep. She got to ref the Fours Pro Championship, and she got thrown to the fire a little bit, but she's good. She held her own. So
that's awesome.
Nice. No, that's awesome. So, I could definitely say I was glowing this weekend. It was just, I mean, just in general, it was an amazing weekend. I think there were so many experiences. I don't know. This is me personally. From what I've seen, and I know there's all kinds of politics and people say what they want and everything like that, but But I can go on to say that for me, every tournament that I've been a part of with USA flag, every tournament gets better and better. And so, you know, I thought Tampa was, you know, as the kids say it these days, Tampa was a movie, you know, but man, this past weekend was something else. It was just a lot of fun. And I got the opportunity to, I was doing youth. I was, doing sevens passing league. I was all over the place. I did some women's non-contact, and it's exciting to see just how much the women's game is continuing to grow. I know I keep saying this, but they are dialed in. And you know, I'm sorry, but the men got to catch up to the women. They got to read the rules. They got to get faster. They need to learn how to, you know, use a playbook. I mean, it blows me away. Like, even clock management, women know how to manage the clock to win a game. And these guys, all they want to do is say, oh, ball game. And I'm like, well, the other team has two timeouts, so we got to run this through. And sure enough, they'll mess it up and lose that game. And like, yep. You know, so
prima donnas.
What's up?
I said, that's because they're prima donnas.
Yeah.
Because this might be a good comparison. So, and I didn't get to spend a lot of time with the non-contact women's division, but with the five contact women's division, let me just ask this. With the five non-contact women's division this past weekend for you, how many teams had coaches?
So let's see, well, maybe out of, yeah, all the games I did, I think there was only one that had a coach.
For the women's women's non-contact?
Women's non-contact, yeah.
So I was going to say women's contact, I noticed one from us.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Jordan?
I had two.
Two?
Well, one team had two, another team had one.
Yeah.
But but the only issue is with that is, and this might step on some toes, and it's, you know, but, you know, again, that's why we're here. I've never understood why men who think that they are football gurus can be coach. I'm like, hey, man, you're not calling the right play. You're not calling the right format. And then you get mad. You're like, oh, well, you didn't listen. I'm like, well, technically she did listen, but that was a terrible call. And there was a team that lost this weekend, and I wanted to walk over to that sideline so bad, look at that coach, and be like, I hope you realize y'all lost because of you. This was all your fault. Those women gave you 110%, and you put them in the wrong position, you dumbass.
You know, I joke with Krista, and I tell, you know, I say, and I'll say it to anybody, like, the worst, in my mind, and this, again, you talk about ruffling feathers, the worst thing in women's flag football is the men.
Yes. Yeah, let it go, bro. You are not a coach. If you want to coach, have a kid or go find some arena ball and do that. Stay away from women's flag football. You're going to ruin the sport because you think that you can, you know, you're trying to live your glory days through these females. Bro, stop it.
Right.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and call it out. Mixed Breeds is a team that a year and a half ago, they had a coach. And that's what was keeping them from winning championships. And man, as soon as they got rid of a coach and they took care of it from themselves, they've been stacking those chips. They're winning a lot of games.
They didn't have a coach. Their quarterback was dialed in. She was moving the ball up and down the field, no problem. Defensively, they were a problem. I think the other thing too with the women's contact division I saw this weekend in LA was some of these teams were just a little bit newer, so they're trying to figure out the schemes and they're trying to understand it for themselves. But they're also they don't have somebody over top of them trying to put them in the wrong position. So they're learning for themselves. You know, I had a couple come up to me, ask me a couple questions, and it was, you know, little things. But it's, you know, they're wanting to improve. They're wanting to learn. They're wanting to play. You know, it's like kind of like you said with the men's division. I still get guys who are quoting USFTL. You know, and
all the time.
Here we are. We're years away from, you know, removed from that organization. And that's, you know, it's there's some history there. And I get, like, over time things get ingrained. But, you know, it's like you said, you got to read the rule book, get caught up, you know, stick with it.
Yeah, arm in motion is still a sack. I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. That's been a sack for 7+ years. They're like, I'm like, I hate you so much.
That's a touchy subject.
No, it's not. The problem is not a touchy subject for me.
For sure. So, just I know we got to talk about it. That I'm telling you, my DMs were full. I was on the field. Sixes Contact Championship. We had new dynasty and Vice. Let me talk about my perspective of the game, and then Jacob, you can take over because ultimately you had to take over. I was the white hat. I was behind the quarterback. New dynasty came out pretty quick, putting up points everything seemed pretty clean. The trenches were, there was just a lot of fun going on. Again, I'm always going to say at Sixes Contact, it's got all the action in there. It was fun. And I didn't really think anything was going to get out of control. We had one hold downfield that was an easy call. All four of our flags came out. Outside of that, going into close to the end of the first half, things were going good. Now Vice got the ball and they threw a pick six. And as the quarterback was being blocked, he made a move in the direction of that ball carrier. From my perspective, it looked like he pushed him out of bounds, to try to prevent him from scoring. I've now seen videos and I've heard other perspectives, but from my perspective, it looked like it was a push to the chest. I immediately threw a flag for a personal foul. We assessed that on the extra point. And then that was the way we ended the first half. Things started to seem like they were heating up. There was definitely, barking back and forth or whatever after that play on the touchdown. So I brought both captains together, told them from this point on, anything outside of football, we're not dealing with. Second half starts, literally first play of the second half. There was a late hit from a D lineman from New Dynasty. So I gave him five plays off. And maybe we have one other play. And then the next play was an interception. And here's this quarterback from Vice, and he's getting blocked, pushed, 10 yards down the field, and a punch was thrown. And from that point on, I threw my flag on the ground, both sidelines cleared, and that's where I made my exit. So, Jacob, you want to come in and go ahead and just fill us in from there?
Yeah, so, I mean – I kind of backtrack a hair. So we were, it was the end of the night. We get a championship. We got four officials on the crew. Typically, I don't hover, try to babysit that,
walk me through. So, like, what game is, like, what day is this? What game is this?
This is day two, very last game of the night. This is the Sixth Contact Championship.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
We have our five women's non-contact championship that was probably about the second half. They were a little bit ahead of the Sixth Contact Championship starting. So they were wrapping up. We're shutting down the park. We're trying to get ready so we can, we can head out when we're done. We're doing things on the admin side, trying to get everything shut down and get ready to go once this is done. I've got TJ and a couple other officials on the field, and I felt like I had a pretty strong crew on there, which I still feel like to handle that. They're getting going. It's like you said, Ant, my back was turned the first scuffle, when the quarterback made a high block, if you want to call it that, or he chucked the runner out of bounds, and I come over, we get it situated. It's like Ant said, we told him at halftime, hey, we're not going to deal with this anymore. Three plays into the second half and sidelines clear. For me is the argument was made that, hey, we're trying to break a fight up, and when I turned around again. To see this happening, I saw five to six punches thrown. So, you know, it was at that point, the game was done. People were no longer there to play football. People were there to fight. And that's when we did what we did. We decided to call ball game as a double forfeit. It's unfortunate that that happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, you even go back and watch the videos and see what happened. I mean, it was pretty clear. You know, that dude was pretty upset. He threw an interception. He threw two punches before one got thrown back at him. Didn't land the first one. Second one went into a shoulder. And, you know, the rest is history.
So you're telling me that that someone getting thrown out of a game, it doesn't affect whether or not they land the punch.
No, if you throw a punch, man, that's it. I don't care where you land it. You ain't, look, a blind squirrel will find a nut every once in a while. but yeah, man,
okay.
he threw, there was, and this is me watching the video, he threw two punches. I mean, he's running backwards when he did it. He threw two punches. You know, the
nope.
Okay.
Okay. Well, oh, let me see. I can add him back. Here we go. What? There we go. I don't know. You went away for a second. Okay, so you were saying he threw two punches.
He threw two punches, you know, didn't land the first one. The second one, he landed in the guy's shoulder, it looks like. And then the guy came off the sideline and threw another punch. And he cleaned that dude, you know, he cleaned him up. But, you know, it's at that point, man, we're not there playing football. And
right,
we're not there to referee a boxing match. We're not there to be a backyard brawl. The fields may have looked like you were in your backyard tearing it up, but, you know, that's not the way we're going to act. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have the patience for it anymore. If you want to fight, cool, get out of here. And if you don't want to leave, we'll have you taken care of. But yeah, man, it's unfortunate because, you know, outside of the weather, outside of the field conditions because of the weather, you know, we had a great tournament, I felt like.
Yeah.
It was a great time. We had some really good competition. I think, you know, we had like one or two little hiccups, but what tournament doesn't? I always say if you're going to have a great tournament, there's going to be some adversity for you to overcome. You know, there was adversity in Durham. We had to change field locations 3 days before the tournament because of the Parks and Rec handled our booking.
Yeah.
But, you know, we overcame that and, you know, Krista and everybody there held it down and, you know, it was a great tournament there too. So
yeah,
at the end of the day, I mean, if you're there to play football, let's play ball. Let's have fun. Play as hard as you can. I get emotions get high and, you know, tempers are raised and that's part of the game. And that's, I tell people all the time, that's what I'm here for. When you get mad, come see me.
Yeah. Come for sure. Well, and that's –
you ain't going to hurt my feelings. I ain't got any.
Jacob!
but come get it out, man. Like, you know, again, that's what I'm here for. But if you're going to be out there and you're going to fight, you're going to come after our officials and do things like that, man, I'm not with it. So, you know, that's – at that point, you got to go.
Yeah, well, and for me, I just want to say selfishly, the flag that I threw on the ground, all these people were, you know, running all over it and trying to fight. I just wanted to pick my flag up. So I probably would have exited the field even faster, but I had to pick my flag up because that's, I didn't want to lose my flag. You know what I mean? So
man,
then
it's a darker shade of yellow, but it's not quite that bright yellow, but man, we'll get you taken care of if you need your flag.
You know, so I didn't want to lose my flag. And then I just felt like I could go get warm in the car and let the people that, you know, that are in charge, handle it. And sure enough, I went, got warm in the car for a little bit. And then I heard Jacob screaming my name. Aunt, where's Aunt at? Where's Aunt? And we came back together and we were able to talk and, you know, just as officials and directors and just kind of talk about, you know, things when it was fresh on our mind. I mean, just even today we've talked more about it and everything. So I do appreciate watching videos and I definitely like will screen record it and slow it down. But ultimately, in the moment, I had a similar situation happen in Fives Women's Contact the night before. I felt like I made the right call. And you know, for me, that's it's unfortunate that was kind of the catalyst that escalated the game into a different direction. But all we can do is move forward from here. You know, and hey, you know, we're not going anywhere, so we're gonna continue to ref these games. So
that's just how it goes. It's kind of like you were talking to us about that earlier, and Jordan will probably agree with this. No two situations, no two people are the same.
No,
so, you know, maybe this guy we should have chucked earlier. Maybe when the first one happened, we toss that guy out and keep the game moving. Maybe we complete it. Maybe it just turns into a blowout, even worse, because that's their team's quarterback, right? But yeah, on the flip side, you tried to do what was in your best judgment of saying, "Hey, we're gonna let them play." But if you do escalate any further, you know, you are gone. And really, at the end of the day, once he threw those punches, if neither sideline would have cleared, that would have been it for him. He would have been gone.
Yeah.
And it's just as simple as that. You know, it sucks, because at the end of the day, I can't tell a grown man not to throw a punch at somebody once, because I'm telling you, if you punch me in the face, I'm probably going to punch you back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where you're no longer in that position of being, you know, player, official, director, anything like that. You're a man, or, you know, or a woman at that point. You're an adult, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, natural instincts kick in at that point. But, you know, there's repercussions, there's consequences for those actions. So,
yeah, absolutely. All right, cool. Well, I appreciate both of you guys just reviewing this past weekend and coming on tonight. I know we had a lot to talk about, and I feel like we covered it all. You know, we'll have a show later in the week, and Zane will be back, and me and him will be here, you know, late at night. So you guys will both be asleep.
That's right.
And we'll talk about what's coming up in the weeks ahead. I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, TZ Customs. You know, if you need custom cleats or custom shoes, you know, just hit him up at TZ Customs, his tag. He made our logo. You know, so he's just been a supporter from day one. I just want to continue to ask all the listeners and followers and viewers to just subscribe and like and share. We are on YouTube, we are on Spotify, we are on Facebook for the old guys, we are on Instagram, TikTok, we are everywhere. So again, Jordan, Jacob, I appreciate you guys joining me, and we will see you next time.
No doubt, appreciate you. Hey, I guess you guys talk about it. I was going to say, where's everybody going to be this weekend?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later in the week.
All right. Appreciate
all right, good. Yep.